You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. All right, we're all talking about masks today, but the legislature's busy at work down in Springfield. And the newest member of the state legislature, if I'm not mistaken, is Senator Mike Simmons from the North Side, a Democrat. Senator, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Am I right? Are you the greenest of the people down there?
I believe in the Senate I am dead last in seniority at the moment.
Well, that'll change eventually, Senator, if you hang around long enough. Appointed in February, I believe it was, correct?
That is right.
But a couple of big legislative moves already, especially for a guy who's only been there for a couple of months. The first is this bill about hair restrictions at schools, and that's moved out of committee. It's supposed to be taken up by the full Senate, I think, tomorrow. Is that correct?
Actually, the bill passed the Senate yesterday.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
But yeah, it passed 40-13, and it now will move to the House of Representatives.
Well, tell me about the bill. What is it?
So the bill, SB 817, would prohibit schools from discriminating against hairstyles traditionally associated with race and ethnicity. So, you know, this really comes out of, several stories that we've seen over the last couple of years of in particular, black youth that, have been forced to take out their braids or other hairstyles or having their hairstyles, regulated or, school policy saying, your hair has to look this way. And, my feeling on that is we've traumatized an awful lot of young people with this. These policies are outdated. And so my bill, brings us into 2021. I think, I think the direction we're going as a country is a better one. And so this is, part of what it means to undo systemic discrimination.
Senator, this would probably be a good time for you to describe your own hair for us.
So I wear my hair in natural freeform lock.
It's a pretty remarkable hair. Did you run into problems when you had a hairstyle like this when you were in school?
Well, when I was in school, I didn't always wear my hair in freeform locks, and part of it is I didn't feel safe doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Because of a lot of these policies that, it can be very, unnecessarily intrusive, I think is a euphemistic way to put it, for the hairstyles, particularly of black teenagers. And so I certainly have had my run-ups with authority figures when I was younger on this topic, and back then, I was probably just as outspoken as I am now. And so, when I was 15, 16, I had an awful lot to say when I felt like, the adults around me were overstepping their bounds. And so, I don't want the next generation to have to experience that. I think particularly with the pandemic and the effect of the effect on the mental health of our young people, we got bigger fish to fry. And so we want them to feel like they have that freedom of expression and can focus on the things that really matter, like, creative expression and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and so you're pretty young, I think, but you still back then was a while ago. I'm surprised that this is even an issue in 2021, but you're here to say that it still is for some kids.
Yeah, I mean, it is. What prompted me to go ahead and write the bill is I read about a four-year-old fellow on the West Side that this happened to in March, where he had gotten his hair braided, and he and his mom were really excited about his hair and excited for him to go to school. And he was forced to take out his braids. And now he's, you ask him about it, he says, "Oh, I can't wear my hair in braids. I'll get in trouble." And I just can't. I can't accept that for a four-year-old to feel like something about him that's God-given is going to get him into trouble. It's entirely unacceptable. And so, let's turn the page on that history. And that's what my bill is all about.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And that was a public school?
No, that was actually a parochial school.
Okay. And so would this bill apply to parochial schools too then?
It would, yeah. It applies to all schools, so public and parochial and charters.
And the enforcement mechanism, though, is to withhold state funding, correct?
Well, so the enforcement mechanism that we have, the Illinois State Board of Education applies compliance probes once a year of all schools. So, what that means is they're looking to make sure that the handbooks that the schools issue every year that cover dress codes don't have any mention of hairstyles traditionally associated with race and ethnicity. No discriminatory language. So they'll have to take that language out. And if they don't comply with that, then SB can move to unrecognize the school and any other host of ramifications that, they won't want to have to deal with.
That is just pretty amazing that a four-year-old had to deal with that. But okay, so when I was in school a lot longer ago, the big issue, mm-hmm. where I went anyway, I was in, mostly white kids, was hair length. You couldn't wear your hair below your shoulder or anything like that. Would that be would restrictions on that be prohibited as well under your bill?
Well, so the bill says hairstyles traditionally associated with race and ethnicity. So, you know, the way we envision it is that schools will not will understand it. It's just not generally advisable to start writing policies that are targeted at black hair. And that's really where the motivation comes from. So, you know, we didn't specifically speak to hair length in this bill, but the real thing that we're trying to deal with here is schools to say, well, you know, you can't have, you know, braids or dreadlocks or hairstyles that, you know, we typically would associate with people that are of African descent.
It made it out of the Senate. What does it look like in the House?
So it's got great momentum in the House. Representative Greg Harris, who actually is the representative that represents one half of my Senate district, he's also in House Majority Leader, has the chief sponsor of the bill. And, you know, there's been so much excitement about this legislation in the community and throughout the state that I think most members will want to support it because they want to be on the right side of the history on this. I think they, you know, understand that this is, you know, this is about our young people. This is about, you know, encouraging them and allowing them to be authentic in who they are. And so, you know, people usually want to be on a bandwagon or something like that.
But there was some opposition. What did the opposition say to you?
The 13 folks that voted against the bill are, you know, one or two of them came up and explained that they, you know, they couldn't vote for the bill because, you know, people represent different parts of the state. I think that in the next few years, we're going to be moving into a climate where people are going to have to explain a little bit more when they say that they support equity, right? A lot of people talk about equity, but it's just we can't let people get away with not, you know, walking the walk. And so, you know, it's not good enough to go to a rally for George Floyd or to put up a Black Lives Matter sign and then, you know, have a scenario where every teenager in your area that's black feels like there's there's something wrong with their hair, right? Like this young four-year-old saying, I'm going to get in trouble if I wear my hair in braids, right? So you can't have it both ways. And I, you know, folks have to vote the way they have to vote, but like we got to keep people honest when they say that they support equity and they support, you know, the, you know, justice for black people, right? Because this is literally like ground zero and a very basic part of that struggle.
Well, I know you're new there. We've established that. And so I'm assuming the senators who told you they couldn't vote that way because of the district they represent certainly are more senior than you. But what do you say to that? I mean, what do you say to someone who says, well, I think it's probably a good idea, but I'm afraid my voters won't like it, so I can't vote for it?
I don't have a whole lot of patience for that line of reasoning. I mean, I think part of why people sent us here is to lead. And leadership is not easy. I mean, there are going to be times when I have to explain things to my constituents, and I think a part of the reason why people have been excited about my arrival is because people see me as a different type of elected official, right? I don't, you know, my constituents have told me you don't talk like a politician, right? I like think about issues and talk to people and don't talk down to them. And I think people are reasonable. They respect that. They find that that's a breath of fresh air. And so people have got to be willing to lead in that way. But I don't want to spend a lot of time talking down or you know, about my other colleagues. I just know how I want to show up in this role. So I hope that, you know, provides a bit of an example for us.
You know, the challenge for you as you serve more and more time there is to maintain that fresh voice, because I would imagine, you know, that a lot of the people who have been there for 20, 30 years arrived with the enthusiasm you did. And sometimes it just gets worn down. Have you thought about that?
Not so much. I mean, it's I've only been here for 3 months, so I'm still very much in the, you know, bright eyed and excited and energetic phase. And I suspect I'll stay in that place. I mean, I'm excited about this work, and you know, I've got a pretty balanced life. I like to spend a lot of time with, you know, my partner and my immediate family, and you know, I think I'll keep my imagination and my inspiration levels high.
Well, you've been down there long enough now. Have you had a horseshoe sandwich yet?
I haven't, but I've been told I need to put that on my to-do list.
All right, listen, go have a horseshoe sandwich this week or next. You decide when, but then I want to hear back on how you liked it.
All right, it's a deal.
All right, Senator Mike Simmons, Democrat from the north side of Chicago. Nice to talk to you. I wish you good luck.
Thanks, my friend.
You bet. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. After Lauren's news, we're going to get a novel answer on why there's a chicken shortage. Talk about performance anxiety. They're blaming the roosters.